Axiom, the tasty truth.
Welcome to I Like Your Style. We are here with Nusa, and we are going to talk about some music today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How about you?
Same old story, just working for the man, fighting the power. You know how it goes. Awesome. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your music and who you are and how you got started.
I'm a singer-songwriter. I write under the name Anna Kalan, which is sort of my combination of my first and last name, but a little changed. I come from Slovenia, and now I live in Los Angeles. So I think a lot of my music is about that, or at least the style that I bring to my music definitely has something to do with that. I think I bring some of like traditional Slovenian sounds and try to mix it with American music, which I've always loved and was always inspired by. As far as lyrics go, I just write about whatever's going on. I mean, I also write a lot about stories. I love to read. I love to watch movies, and I love to write all of those things. Like whatever story inspires me, I just try to write a song about it, and that's as complicated as it gets.
That can get complicated sometimes, for sure. So moving to LA, from Slovenia to start a songwriting career, that's pretty badass and bold. What's one thing you wish you'd known when you started that journey?
I did start that career in Slovenia before I even moved here. Because I come from theater, and I did theater there, and that sort of led me to be a songwriter. But what I wish I knew, I just wish I had more information, just like how hard it was going to be, like how hard it is to be an immigrant here. I wish I knew like who to turn to. I wish I had people explain to me things that you don't, kind of just left on your own. You don't really get any guidance, like how to get a social security number, you know, all those things. I just wish there was I had a course on how to survive in America as a foreign person.
As someone who was born here, I wish I had a course on how to survive in America. So it's not easy. That's for sure. It's not like it is in the movies sometimes. I love it. Okay. So what does the phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll mean to you?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I kind of see it as a 20th century thing, I guess. I don't think it's as accepted nowadays as it used to be, like in the 70s and 80s. I think it's a great nostalgic expression, you know, that rock music lovers, you know, go to, and I include myself in that. I love rock and roll. But the sex and drugs aspect, I think, has gotten, you know, a little more complicated now, and it's not glorified anymore, and I don't think it should be. Right. But you know, I still love the sound. I still love the music that came from these times. And whenever somebody says that to me, it just kind of takes me to those times and the fashion and the music, and I love that.
Oh yeah,
I think it's a great part of music history.
It is. It's an interesting one. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, it's you look at the you know, the hedonistic lifestyle of that era of rock and roll and, you know, how many great musicians we've lost to drug overdoses. And it's only getting worse, it seems. So that's a great point. On a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
I mean, that's a subjective thing to to grade. I'd say I'm pretty normal to me. I'm going to go with 5.
5, just middle of the road, just not, you know, average amount of weird. Right,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be a little weird to do what we do.
That's fair. This is not wrong. although I have met plenty of very, very normal musicians, but most of them are just the guys who pick up the guitar to, you know, get laid and don't actually pay attention to the history of music and things like that. So, what have you been listening to lately that's been inspiring to you?
I'm really stuck in the oldies right now. Like I feel like this year has been, there have definitely been some great songs that came out in 2020, but I feel like I just don't want to accept it. Maybe that's why. I've just been listening to like the 70s, like the you know, the singer songwriters of that era, like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and Joni Mitchell and Neil Young. I mean, he's a part of that, and Simon and Garfunkel. Like I kind of was going back to my roots like this past year, just because I wanted, you know, I spent a lot of time working on myself, and I think that was kind of a part of that. So that's what I've been listening to. You know, I feel like people should definitely check out new music as well, and I should too.
Baby, I mean, you can never go wrong with Paul Simon or Neil Young. It's just that's never a bad answer. when you're looking for something to throw on your Spotify, you know, that one of them comes on, it's just, you're not going to have a bad time. That's for sure.
Yeah, so, I agree.
What's been your biggest failure and what'd you learn from it?
My biggest failure. Last year was hard. You know, I don't see failures as failures anymore, I think, because I usually expect I'm not going to get a job. Like when I'm, because I also do acting, I also do film and theater, and you know, there's so much rejection in this business. So I feel like I've just gotten used to not getting 95% of the job. So like I could take all of those as a failure, but I could also just take the 5% that I did get as, you know, as a win. Maybe on a bigger scale though, like I had to quit my dancing career because that's what I did as a child. I danced for a long, long time. And then I applied to this college program. And I didn't get accepted. So that was like, that hurt a lot, but I don't regret it though.
For sure. And that's a great lesson to learn, especially, you know, in industries where there's a lot of rejection, right? Like acting, theater, music, whatever the case may be. That's a huge lesson that you got to learn, is that you're going to get 19 no's before you get a yes, maybe 100 no's before you get a yes. But eventually you get that one yes that, you know, breaks, you know, makes or breaks your entire career. And that's what you're working all that time for, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it works.
So who are the three people in your life who have been the most influential to you?
I'd say I had a best friend, her name's Nina, and she was the one who kind of got me into rock music, which eventually led me to learn how to play guitar and then form bands and all that stuff. And she was with me in my first band as well. So I got to give her that credit. And then my dad would also definitely be one. He's the, you know, he's the Neil Young lover. He's the, you know, the soft soul in the family who also plays guitar. So he was a huge influence on me. Well, I'm not going to say my brother and my mom, because obviously they were fugitives, let's just do, but the third person would be maybe my oldest cousin, because she was like the one person in my family who always just traveled and like did things that were crazy. And I was like the youngest cousin of all the cousins that I had. So I was just like watching her, and I just hoped I could be as brave as her one day. And eventually I became just as crazy. So like, I'm here now, I'm in Los Angeles, you know, chasing this career. So yeah, I'd say those three people.
Oh yeah. No, that's awesome. That's cool. You know, usually people list off like songwriters and whatnot there. So like for it to be your family and friends, that's really awesome. Like I wish I had that sometimes, but, yeah. So most importantly, where can our listeners find your music online? Like, where's your kind of your hub?
I try to upload it to all the platforms. So like whatever platforms you use, you're probably going to find it there. But I upload most of my stuff on YouTube just because I do a lot of live sessions and like video content. So YouTube is where you're going to find the most of my stuff.
Yeah. And I checked out some stuff on YouTube. You do that Arctic Monkeys cover. That's pretty badass. But there's some really good stuff on there. I'll link that to in the description of the podcast. But on top of that, we're going to go ahead and check out your song Misguided real quick. We'll play that for our listeners and then we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Some people don't. Happiness, I mean. I've always searched perfection with perfect flaws. I decided it does not exist. Feel the taste of your breath, but took it back from my trembling hands. My misguided heart, misguided feet, couldn't follow up so fast. To be yours, with every blood drop in my veins. No, I'm not one who could take control and protect myself from pain. Thank you. time. My misguided heart, misguided feet, couldn't follow her so fast alongside your beat.
That is a killer jam. No, I love it. That's such a big production. Like it's a winner for sure. So tell us a little bit about the process for recording that song.
Misguided. Well, I actually recorded that song with my Slovenian band because I kind of worked in both places. And that one was down in Slovenia with the band I play there. It was really simple, actually. We wanted it to feel as organic as possible. So we actually recorded most of the instruments and vocals at the same time. Like the drums, the bass, my part on guitar, and my vocals were recorded at the same time. And I think that's what made created the feeling of the song. Because we've played it at gigs before. And we knew what we wanted. And then we just added electric guitar and backing vocals, and that was it, pretty much. It took us 2 days. It was really simple.
Yeah, no,
sorry, you had a question?
No, yeah, I love that because nobody does that. And like for me, all my songs have 40 instruments played by just me, right? So like it's one song at a time, all directly recorded and all that stuff. That's what a lot of people do now. So it's nice to know that there's still people out there doing things, recording things live like that. That's pretty freaking badass is just the comment I wanted to make. But on top of that, you also have you told me you have either a single or a new record that you just finished that is coming out soon?
Yeah, I have a new single coming out. It's actually recorded with the same band, so it should have a similar sound, but it's a little bit more like a rock ballad. It's not as folky, more rock. It's called Your Soul, and it's coming out on January 14th.
Well, I can't wait for it. That'll be in my queue to listen to on my hopefully on my release radar or whatnot when it comes out. Yeah. So, being a musician, actress, new in the States, and you probably have to have a job, cause those don't technically pay that much most of the time when you're just getting started. Like, how do you balance it all?
I actually don't have a job because I have visa restrictions and I can't work anywhere else except in our artistic field. But I do write a lot. I write scripts, I write plays, and that's what I've been making money off mostly recently. And like commercial acting, that pays more than artistic acting. So I just work really hard. I just audition all the time. I apply for jobs all the time. And then, like I said, 5% of them I get. And so far, I've managed to pay the rent.
Which is amazing. I grew up in Los Angeles. That's thoroughly impressive. I've known a lot of people who are doing what you're doing who like couldn't do it if they didn't also have their bartending gig. So that's good for you. That's really fucking impressive. When was the moment you knew that you wanted to be a musician?
Oh, a long time ago. It took me a while to realize that it was possible. Like that was that happened very late. But I wanted to be a musician since at least when I was 12. You know, when I got my first guitar, when I discovered rock music. I've always wanted it. I pursued other things because I didn't think it would provide me a stable life, I guess. And then 3 years ago when I was, I guess it was like right before I decided to go to America. I had my first gig with my original music. That was 2018. And it felt amazing. And, you know, a lot of people actually came. And that was like the most amazing feeling that I'd ever felt in my life, probably. So I just decided that I need to do this. Like, I need to pursue this. And I haven't stopped since.
That's beautiful. I love asking this question from my international guests because they always have way different answers from the Americans. Not that you're not an American now, right? But what's your favorite curse word?
Not yet. My favorite curse word. Am I allowed to say curse words
here? Absolutely. It's a podcast, and we're not bound by the FCC.
Okay. I mean, I do say fuck a lot.
You are an American.
I guess. I mean, this is my second language. I don't, you know, I curse differently. I curse in Serbian when I speak Slovenian. It's kind of a weird thing we have.
So what's your favorite Serbian curse word then?
Well, I guess it's a kind of a translation of the word fuck. We pronounce it as jebeš, like fuck it. I use that all the time, and I love that word.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm about it. My favorite. I just talked to someone from Canada the other day who's all of their curse words are religious symbols in French, because the Catholic Church like had so much dominance in that region for so long and like was so oppressive that just all the curse words are just, you know, like the French word for tabernacle is like a far worse swear word than fuck. Like it was a really interesting. Really interesting. So it's really interesting, like how different parts of the world mean different things with their curse words. And I'm really about it. Like, so what's your favorite piece of gear?
I mean, I'm an acoustic guitar player, so I don't need much.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd be surprised the amount of different things I've hooked into or recorded an acoustic guitar with, but I get what you're saying.
No, that's true. I, you know, a really good amp. That's all I need. And so honestly, probably like a really good microphone is even more important to me because I am a stronger singer than I am a guitarist.
You're a pretty strong guitarist though, so.
Oh, thank you. I do have my own microphone that I carry everywhere. I don't trust random microphones.
What kind of mic is that?
It's just a Shure microphone, but I don't know. I don't know why I just always carry it with me.
No, that's fair. You trust it. Like I take an SM. I take an SM Set 57 with me wherever I go, even though I know they'll probably have one. Like it's a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because what if they don't? What if you show up to a venue and they're using like, you know, those microphones that they got for $20 that have the quarter inch cable like directly plugged into them? That, you know, like sometimes you never know. Yeah. Let's just say you finally made it. You know, you're going on tour with Neil Young, if he's still touring, which we both know he's just about done, so that might not be possible. But he's opening up for you now because you've made it that hard. And you're flying your private jet to play some festival in Japan. And as the plane goes down, you have time, you know, because planes go down. Obviously, when you're that famous, you have time to grab three records to play on your little coconut powered radio on the island where you're going to live on for the next few years. What three records are you grabbing?
Well, it wouldn't be a private jet because global warming, but
okay, your eco-friendly weather balloon.
Oh God, that is an impossible question. I mean, I guess. Led Zeppelin 4, number 4.
All right.
Babel from Mumford and Sons. That's one of, you know, my favorite recent ones. I mean, kind of. And God, that is so hard. And Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Sergeant Pepper. Okay, that's a good combo. But that really, that's I never really gave that Mumford and Sons album a solid. Like I heard the couple singles off it. I never gave the whole album a listen. I really loved their first album, but I just kind of stopped paying attention after that for some reason. That's a top three album that I need to check out then.
I mean, it's what I'm gonna say right now at this particular moment. It'll probably change 5 minutes later. You know,
that's fair. That's completely fair.
I just love a lot of music, and I listen to a lot of music. But yeah, Mumford and Sons is. I think they're not recognized as like this great band with a huge legacy, but I think they're great. Like they're great lyricists, and I think they have a really unique sound. And honestly, that the second album, Babel, is my favorite one from them.
All right, yeah. No, because I saw them live once, right after their first album came out, and they just absolutely blew me away with their live performance. But then I don't know, somehow they just fell off my radar, and I never got a chance to listen to them, so I guess I have to now. you talked about your lyrics earlier and how you like to write about what's going on at the moment. Let's dig a little deeper into that. Like, what's going on right now that you feel like you need to write about?
Right now I'm actually writing, when I write scripts, cause I've been writing a lot of scripts. I always write music for those scripts as well. Like whether the crew or the director use it or not, that doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter, but I always write like about whatever I'm doing. So I've just been writing a film about this couple that is about to break up, but like not really brave enough to do that. So I guess I've just been writing depressing songs about broken relationships. But I really want to write a happy song. I want to write a couple of happy songs because I think we need optimism right now. And yeah, that's my goal, to write something happy and positive.
That's
just about the world, not necessarily about me, but about the world.
That's a great song, a great goal, because I struggle writing anything optimistic or happy or positive. It's just, you know, I mean, writing for me is just, you know, an extension of my depression, right? So, I mean, the happiest song I ever wrote is about a guy who falls in love with a real doll, right? So, like, it's...
I do understand that. I have the same problem, you know. To write happy songs.
It really is. I mean, it's easy for some people, and those are the guys that write the hits, right?
yeah.
But it's I don't know. I struggle with that too. Like I try to, and you know, it never, you know, like I write a good angry song, I write a good sad song, but I try to write a happy song, and I never like it enough to put it out. It's just, I hear it and I'm like, nope, that's not who I am. That's not real. You know, that's
exactly, that's how I feel too. It sounds like, suddenly sounds cliche. It's fake.
Exactly. It's maybe I just haven't experienced enough happiness to be able to write about it, which is horrible to think about, because I've experienced plenty of happiness. Like I've got great friends that I love, but I don't know how to write about it in a way that seems authentic and fulfills the emotion.
Maybe listen to happy songs, like good happy songs. Not like the, you know, the hit, happy hits of 2000s, but like some good quality happy songs.
Yeah, that's actually probably a good idea. I mean, even The Cure has some happy songs, right? Like it's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, Bob Dylan has happy songs. Bruce Springsteen has happy songs.
Yes. Yes, Bob Dylan does have a few happy songs, but most of them are very objectively not.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a valid, very valid point. So this is my favorite part of the show. It's Hot Takes with Elder Bryson. What is an unpopular opinion, that you have that you know is true that everyone else disagrees with you on?
Oh, God, like about anything?
About anything, literally anything you want it to be. Like mine is ketchup. The only place ketchup belongs is the garbage, you know, or like I had another guy come in and talk about how he doesn't think the earth is round. So it could be anywhere in between those two things, you know, like.
Well, I do like pineapple and pizza.
That's, oh, how dare you?
sorry. And I'm not even American.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, it's that's a very much. Maybe that's why. Maybe I like. Where's the first place you tried pineapple on pizza?
Probably America, because I do live very close to Italy. I mean, like where I come from.
Right.
So I haven't tried it there, but probably America. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen. I love those video clips that where like Americans go to Italy, and they like buy a can of pineapple. And then they put it on top of Italian pizza, right? And then they pretend they're like a pizza delivery guy, and they take it to, you know, or they wait outside people's houses for the delivery, and then they'll throw the pineapple on there, and they'll take it upstairs and hand it off to them. And I've seen some of them get the shit beat out of them. It's crazy.
That is insane. Okay, I would never do that.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't bring my own pineapple.
No, yeah, you can't put it on someone else's food. That's just ridiculous. But so are most of Americans. That's we're very brash. We're a very brash country. So
wild card. There are a lot of things.
So what drives you as a musician?
You mean like lyrics or music,
what makes you get up in the morning and write songs?
Well, deadlines help a lot, but I guess it's just like the huge amount of feelings I feel in my chest. I'm like, okay, what is this? Let's figure it out. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's this. And then I start writing a song, and then I slowly figure out what I'm feeling. That's how it usually goes.
and that works, right? You know, there's just something in your chest that's got to get out, and then suddenly it's on the paper, and you're there's a melody, and you're singing along. I mean, that works. What are you hoping to accomplish with your music in the next 5 years?
I mean, I would love to be able to live off it. I would love to be able to tour, and, you know, that's pretty much all I want. I'm not, you know, aiming for a huge amount of fame. I want to have a life where music is my number one thing. That would be a dream.
That is the dream. You're absolutely right. And you know, it's totally doable. You have a great talent. So I can't wait to hear, what more you come out with, because, you know, so far what I've heard from you is phenomenal. So, I'm really stoked to see what the future brings. What's the best show you've ever played?
Like a music show?
Yeah. What's the best concert you've ever played at?
I mean, the biggest concerts, but I haven't been here for that long. So the
not,
biggest,
not the biggest, the best.
The best.
Most memorable.
Most memorable. I played at this international festival called Lin. It's held in Slovenia, but it's an international festival. And it was like the scenery was just amazing. It was like by the river, and then they had like these extensions of like wood on the river, so people could sit and like have drinks like floating on the river. That was just insane. and the crowd was really good. So that's probably my most memorable one. And we also had like the full band with backing singers and everything. I'm going to say that one.
That sounds great. I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure one of my favorite singers, Donny Benet, I'm pretty sure he got his start at that festival. If he's from Australia. He was kind of ready to throw in the towel when it came to music. And then he played that festival and he got a bunch of, you know, he kind of took off from there. A bunch of people got into him. He makes like really weird, like 80s pop. And it's kind of funny, but kind of also sensitive. And I don't know how else to, if you don't know who he is, check him out. It's interesting. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where he got his start.
Thank you. I'll check him out.
For sure.
But yeah, it's a great festival. So.
Yeah, I want to play there now. That sounds like a great time. Like,
yeah, send them an email. They might book you.
Yeah, no, send me a link and I will. Because that sounds amazing. If you could step into my shoes and be me for a couple minutes, and what question would you ask yourself that I haven't asked you?
God, you have a lot of hard questions. maybe like what I guess just what genre wise, like where I come from. Maybe we could talk. Maybe I could talk a little bit about that and like how the musicians that I play with influence that.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that.
I'm glad you asked. So yeah, general wise, I like I said, I love rock music. I come from, you know, 60s, 70s is my probably my favorite decade for music. Starting with the Beatles, of course.
Of course.
But the interesting thing is, as I mentioned, I do bring some of traditional sounds from my country to my music. Not necessarily the song we listen to, but there are songs that are a lot more traditional. And that I kind of had that thing going with my band back there, but then I came to America and I discovered this huge jazz scene in Los Angeles. I mean, it's not that huge, but you know, for me, I just got here. It seemed huge at first. And I started playing with jazz musicians. And I started incorporating a lot of jazz music into my songs. And now I kind of have like two different groups of people that I play with. One is a lot more folky and the other one is more jazz. And I play the same songs with these two bands. And I just love that I get to do that. That's like my favorite thing about moving here and doing music here is that I get to play my songs in two different genres. And it obviously affects my writing as well.
And that's fantastic. And that's definitely something that makes you unique as a songwriter, which I love personally. You know, that's what it's all about, right? It's being different from, you know, the other, you know, 40 people out there who go to open mic night and play C, D, and G over and over again. And yeah, sing that one song about that one breakup, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I definitely added some more complicated chords as I went on.
Yeah, you have. So anyway, yeah, that's the show. So do you have any final words for our guests out there in the internet and elsewhere?
Listen to good music. There's a lot of good music out there and support unsigned new artists. Because you never know, like, who's going to be the next big deal.
You don't. And that is a command of the century right there. Listen to good music.
Yeah. Please. Don't just listen to what's popular. Trust your taste.
Trust them. Cause there's I've discovered, like, just making this show, I've discovered so many of our coming up on 30 bands now that I've found that are just unbelievably talented, that, you know, are so much better than 90% of the stuff that I hear on the radio. And I'm really excited to work with y'all. So, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And ladies and germs, this has been I Like Your Style.